You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Andrew Mount in the studio. Real good day of racing to look forward to as well. It's day two of the Craven meeting at Newmarket. Some real good racing to look forward to there, including the Nell Gwynn Stakes. We've also got action of the obstacles at Cheltenham and racing on the flat at Beverley in the afternoon. And more in the evening as well from Sedgefield and Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio is jockey Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, not so bad at all. I hear you've just hot-footed it back from Jersey.
Yeah, the big meeting in Jersey.
Yeah.
Yesterday was good. We had a bit of luck, so it was well worth the trip. And I think back out to Guernsey in 2 or 3 weeks if racing over here permits.
Yeah.
But no, it's a little bit of a side number really when you can get away, but it's enjoyable and you know it's a good bit of banter, to be fair.
How'd you get on then? Did you ride a winner?
I had a winner over hurdles, and then I rode a couple on the flat that were second and third.
All right.
But the UK trainers did well, because the UK horses are generally, this first meeting fitness wise, are a good bit more forward than the Jersey horses. Yeah. But the Jersey horses from halfway in the season will come into their own, because they go on that fast ground and obviously they know the track very well.
Yeah. A lot of people turn up. You got a big crowd there, or?
It was a nice crowd yesterday, but they'll just get bigger from now on. They have a couple of evening meetings as well, and like you know, the weather's always fantastic, and it's right on the coast. It's literally, you know, if you had something that was hanging bad enough, right, he'd be off the edge of the cliff. But it's very picturesque, and it's enjoyable.
No, good. Keep an eye out for that in the future. Talking about Newmarket on this edition of the podcast, Paddy, we had the first day of the Craven meeting on Wednesday. Just want to look back at some of that, the highlights there. Good day for Godolphin. They had Night Circus, Sound and Silence, and Next Stage all went on the card for them. Two of those trained by Charlie Appleby.
Yeah, they've had a very good day, and even the side Bins Aurora horse, you know, they brought him back for a 300-day layoff, and in what turned out to be quite a messy race, I thought it was a good performance, and they were unlucky with the beat the bank. I mean, when me and Wiz looked back at it after, Wiz thought that maybe the best horse had finished second, but he's a far bigger animal than Beat the Bank, and he just didn't handle the dip. Although he'd had two runs, Beat the Bank had only had one. Beat the Bank's jockey never actually picked the stick up, whereas once William Buick hit the rising ground, he's actually got quite stuck into his horse, because he thought he was in with a fair chance, which he was. But the fact that we picked up on the stick hadn't been used on Beat the Bank, that was probably a fairly good performance as well. But all round, Godolphin have had a fairly decent day, but the ground looks quick. You've seen an awful lot of horses aren't handling that dip. And when they do meet the rising ground, they're swapping their leads quite a lot, especially the bigger, maybe heavier set type horses. So people are going to have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, keep that in mind with the action on Thursday, which we'll move on to shortly. Good to see Newmarket back, isn't it, if nothing else?
Yeah, it is fantastic. But, you know, I did say to Wiz earlier that on the TV, it's very deceiving as to how bad the dip is.
Yeah.
You know, it really doesn't look that bad visually to the eye, but even horses with experience, if the ground is quick and they're in top gear, that dip it just comes at a real terrible time of the race when you're just starting to turn the screw, and it can get horses beat. Obviously they've got the little bit of a cuff and a climb to give them a chance to get back into the race, but often the chance is gone, you know, because you don't have an awful lot of time on the climb. And obviously in that standard of race, you've got good opposition, so they're not going to be stopping either. But yeah, so like I said, it's great to see Newmarket back, but you know, punters and listeners will have to keep in mind that this ground all the time, with the wind blowing as well, it's drying up and it's quickening.
Yeah, real rattling fast ground by the looks of things than at the moment. We've got day two of the Craven meeting to talk about. We've also got good racing at Cheltenham. There's a grade two on their card, which we're going to look at as well. Something for everybody this time of year. If you're a Jumps fan, you can still cling on to Cheltenham there. And if you're a flat man, you're happy that Newmarket's back. So real good stuff to look forward to. The first race that we look at is the 225 at Newmarket, which is the European Free Handicap. It's a listed race over 7 furlongs. The market headed by Sir Dancelot at the time of recording this, 5-2 at the top of the betting. White Cliffs of Dover, 4-1. Seven Heavens is 9-2. 13-2 for Rodani, 15-2 Majest, and 11-1 are bigger prices for the others. We'll start with Sir Dancelot, since he's at the head of the market there. Paddy won the Rockingham at York last year, finished 6th in the Racing Post Trophy as well. How do you think he'll get on Thursday afternoon?
Yeah, he had a good year last year, to be honest, and he was very, very well campaigned by David Ellsworth. Real good training performance with this chap. And I mean, look, I thought at 5-2 he was just short enough, because he's making his seasonal debut, and you know, I just think handicap wise he might just have a fair bit on his plate here now, because of what he's up against. I'm sure he's capable of winning off that mark and even maybe creeping into to listed company, but he's just got some relatively low mileage unexposed types here. And there was a couple I liked, but in the end I did plump for the horse at the top of John Gosden's Seven Heavens, because had been impressive up until its final run in the Dewhurst, where it all went wrong and just literally put in a typical Frankel performance, just lost its head, done far too much, and gave any sort of winning chance away. But the Old Hood goes on tomorrow, which I'm a big fan of, and like we spoke about, the ground is quick, and I mean, take away that Dewhurst form, where, you know, like I said, you can't put a line through it because there was a very, very good reason. You know, his form is very, very strong, and like I said, he's low mileage. Frankie rides. The yard are having a very, very good time, as we've just seen them have a very, very nice winner of a good race at Newmarket with Frankie on board as well. So, I mean, they're 6 from about 20 in the last fortnight, so they're ticking along quite nicely. I think the vital thing is if Frankie can just get this horse to put the choke in, you know, because 7 furlongs will take a bit of getting. And but I just think he's, like I've said, relatively unexposed. But the biggest key factor is, for me, being a Frankel, I think the Hood is going to make all the difference.
Yeah, it's going to be quite interesting to see how some of the Frankels get on as three-year-olds this year, isn't it? Because a lot of them were, got pretty worked up as two-year-olds, didn't they? Like, really on the edge, kind of, yeah, in the paddock. So if they just settled down a little bit, kind of like he did himself. He got calmer as he got older, didn't he?
He did, as he got older. But the thing is, last year, from what we've seen of them, visually, they tended to look very like Frankel and behave like him.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing that, you know, it's certain sires that they'll pass on their traits, but every Frankel, or the bulk of Frankels that you've seen of his crop last year, they were, you know, they were almost sort of like image. But yeah, they're very hot. Generally, they're quite forward and they know their job, but at the same time, he had some unbelievable success also.
Mm. Seven Heavens then, the selection for Paddy in the 225, the European Free Handicap. Moving to Cheltenham next for the 240, this is the Silver Trophy Chase. 2.5 miles the distance for this Grade 2 Limited Handicap. We've got 10 of them set to go to post for this one. Starkitect is the 100-30 favourite. 11-2 Village Vic. Thomas Crapper is 11-2. 7-1 Artmoresque. Voider is 8-1. Henryville 8-1 as well, with Foxdale Hill. And 12-1 are bigger prices for the others. Quite an open race, plenty of, we know plenty about these chases, don't we? So which one do you think comes home in front?
Well, to be honest, Mark, I thought for its grade, it wasn't a very deep race, to be honest, because look, this time of year, Village Vic, in an ideal world, he likes to be getting his toe in a good bit more, although he generally turns up at Cheltenham. He's a good stick round there. He's been unlucky. He's had a busy enough old year. He got mugged around there in that big race earlier in the year after making the running, and generally he does have to shoulder top weight as well. But he's a very likeable horse. He never turned up at all at the festival. It was very, very disappointing. But he's been freshened up since then. They left the entry alone. So they've obviously had this race in the back of their mind. But I just think, like I say, for the money that's on offer and, you know, the title of the race, I don't think it's a very deep race. If the likes of sort of Thomas Crapper and the likes are in there with a relatively good shout. You know, he's just a likeable old handicapper who'll win in his turn. But I was going to side with Village Vic simply because of his course record. If there was a little bit of rain, I think it would enhance his chance, you know, massively. Because the Dave Pipehurst has been to Cheltenham and he's been to Aintree and had quite a hard race at Aintree because he arrived there with a chance, so therefore he was given quite a hard race, but in the end he was well beat and he just looked a tired horse that day. So how fresh his legs are coming here tomorrow is a little bit of a question mark for me. But if Village Vic haven't stopped at home for the Aintree Festival and been freshened up since, albeit disappointing, at the festival, if he's back on song tomorrow, I could just see this very, very admirable old chap carrying top weight tomorrow, so long as the ground just doesn't take him off his legs.
Yeah. If we don't get any rain and it is quick ground, would you change your opinion to something else?
I just think Thomas Crapper, it would bring him into it then because he's always got a relatively low weight, this horse. Charlie Post gets on very, very well. He was impressive a couple of runs back at Newbury, but the handicappers had a say.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not really a horse that's on the improve. He just won in his turn, albeit he's a very, very sound jumper. He's got form around Cheltenham, ran a cracker at the festival as well also. But like I said, in these sort of handicaps, he's just picking up the pieces without sort of having the class to win a real good one.
Yeah.
But one thing is, he'll turn up, he's a very, very reliable jumper, and he'll run his race. But whether he's got the actual class is debatable.
Okay. A couple to consider there then at Cheltenham. We're going back to Newmarket next for the 3 o'clock, the Earl of Sefton Stakes, which is a Group 3 for the older horses here. And we've got Folkswood at the top of the market at 11-4, 5-1 Spark Plug, Viren's Army 5-1 as well, 6-1 for Abdon, Autocratic is 6-1 in the market too, 8-1 for Bravery, and 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. We'll start with the chances of Folkswood then, seeing as he's at the top of the market for the all-conquering Charlie Appleby Godolphin team.
Yeah, he's very, very likeable, this horse, to be honest, Mark, and he's got course form. We've seen that the Arder and Crack in good order. I mean, last time we've seen him, Maidan, he's placed in a Group 1, so really it's actually an easing grade here out the group 3, so he's got to be massively competitive here. And like I said, Yarder in very, very good order. He's just got a nice profile, this horse, and really could knock his attitude. He's got picked up quite a bit of experience now, and I could just see him being more than capable of winning a nice pot like this, just ever so slightly eased in grade.
Okay. Where's the danger?
I mean, it wasn't as deep a race as I thought maybe Seven Heavens was, as regards something lurking there. But I mean, there's a few horses there maybe didn't finish off their season as well as was expected. So that's it. There's one or two forgivable runs also. But probably on a whole, I thought maybe, you know, even sort of the old horse that Jim Crowley rides, I know he's mad about Berkshire. He's got plenty of class, this horse. And on a go, I think Paul Cole has done a terrific job of training him. And at the end of the day, he's rated 105. He's got plenty of class. But he's a hard horse to catch right. Mm. And at times, can just do a little bit much in his races. But, you know, like I said, Jim knows him very, very well. And if he turns up, you know, sort of on his mettle tomorrow, he would go down fighting, in my opinion. Okay. He is a fair horse, but he does need things to drop right for him.
So keep an eye on Berkshire then, folks, with the main selection in the 3 o'clock. And we finish off in the 3:35, the three-year-old fillies in action for the Nell Gwynn Stakes, a fillies group 3. We've got 11 of them set to go to post for this one. And Pamplemousse is the 7-2 favourite, 4-1 Roly Poly, Sea of Grace 4-1, very weak in the market as well, 5-2 out to 4-1. Brave Anna going the other way, 7s into 6s, 7-1 Poet's Vanity, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Interesting to see how Pamplemousse gets on, because trained by Andre Farb, sent over to Newmarket having only had the one start, and it was a winning one. Could be anything, couldn't she?
Yeah, but it was on an artificial surface, which, you know, it's I mean, look, visually very, very impressive. Mm. And the fact that they're willing to, you know, sort of chuck in at the deep end tomorrow is encouraging, but there's obviously risks attached, there's no doubt. But the market has been positive. The one I did like was Sea of Grace, which is actually the market negative. I just like the fact that it's been taken over from a yard, which I'm a big fan of in John Ox, because I think the horses are brought along so gradually. You know, it's very, very well bred. Very, very well bred. And hasn't been over raced. Finished off, winning up the Curragh. It was a Group 3. Good performance. I mean, this one's actually fancy for the guineas, and has been, you know, quite highly spoke of. And I'm a big William Haggis fan, but more so just the fact of where it's come from in the John Ox yard. Won't have been abused. Could be open to any amount of potential. And I just think, really, I mean, a handicapper has been impressed also, a mark of 107, but could just be the fly in the ointment here. I mean, this is probably the deepest race all day for me, but Sea of Grace is intriguing. First start in the UK, but is definitely in the right hands now. And, you know, she could go on to bigger and better things.
All right, Sea of Grace then, the selection for Paddy in the Nell Gwynn then. So Sea of Grace there, in the race before that, it was Folkswood at Cheltenham, taking a chance on old Village Vic, and Seven Heavens in the opener, in the 225.
Yeah, some quality stuff tomorrow.
Really
quality
good
stuff.
Yeah. Next couple of days at Newmarket, obviously very good. Got Cheltenham on a couple of those days as well. Some good racing up north. Ripon coming up as well for myself. But yeah, it's a good old time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. It's great, especially up north, because all the tracks are starting out again. Your evening meetings are starting, and it's fantastic. And you know, the weather's been kind. Just don't want the ground to go too severe, really, is because it's a long summer. If the ground's going to be rattling, but no, it's just great to have some of them tracks back.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Paddy. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Okie doke. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Paddy. That's Paddy Aspel's thoughts on Wednesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Andrew Mount in the studio. Day two of the Craver meeting at Newmarket. Good racing at Cheltenham and Beverley alongside that in the afternoon. And evening racing as well, Sedgefield and Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.